is Paloma, and I'm here with a weird, curly-haired, psychiatric piano pop-making guy from Brooklyn, New York, named Julian Villard. Let up demons, 'cause they're gonna be with you for a while. Rain, 4 days on end, with no sign of sun in sight. Julian, how have you spent your Saturday so far?
Well, at the moment, I'm currently rifling through bills and seeing if Con Ed is overcharging me or not.
Do you have a lot of bills?
I have my fair share of bills. Living in New York is not exactly the cheapest life to lead.
Well, you could move to Southern California and it would be equally as expensive.
I couldn't. Yeah, that's totally possible. I don't know how to drive.
Oh,
I
really?
I grew up here my entire life, so
wow.
You know, my times that I spent in LA are frustrating, to say the least.
Yeah, the public transportation systems here are horrible. You can't not drive. All right, so will you complete a little story for me? It's a really easy story to complete. Once upon a time, there was this kid named Julian.
How much elaboration do you guys want?
As long as you feel.
Once upon a time, there was this kid named Julian, and he moved to Brooklyn, and his mother was a real estate agent, but she didn't really find him a good apartment, so he lived in this tenement with people sleeping on his stairs, praying that one day some record company would give him a gigantic advance so he could move from his crooked Brooklyn apartment, and he wore sweatpants a lot.
The end?
The end.
Very good. I love that story. So you've been touring recently. You're just back, and it looks like you have some more dates coming up, but you might be on a little break. How was that, and what was your favorite city that you played in so far?
It was cool. You know, it was a Hard Rock Cafe tour, which is, like, kind of a little unusual. You know, I was playing basically Hard Rocks in all these different cities, and I don't know what you know about Hard Rock, but it's got a little bit of a reputation for being a tourist trap.
Mm-hmm.
But it actually was really cool, and we went around. Unfortunately, you know, a lot of the towns, I didn't really have, we did 11 shows in 14 days, so there wasn't really a lot of time to check out places. But we got to spend a day off in Nashville, which was awesome.
Oh, wow.
And that's a great city. And, you can kind of tell from the crowds and the vibes, you know, Pittsburgh is a surprisingly beautiful city. Like, you wouldn't think it, but Pittsburgh is gorgeous.
Uh-huh.
And we caught a good day there. The weather was great. And, and Atlanta's interesting. Atlanta's got a good vibe.
Oh, that's what I hear.
A lot of homeless people in Atlanta.
Really?
It's kind of intense.
Huh.
Walk on the street. It's like the homeless person capital of the world instead of America. Seriously, because all the homeless people move there because the weather's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say that. So, if you ever find yourself homeless, something to keep in mind.
It's not out of the question. I definitely, homelessness is it's not something I completely rule out. I definitely qualify as a nomad and sometimes as a vagrant and a scallywag or
a hobo.
Hobo, street urchin. So, homeless is definitely in that, except it's a little bit more serious. I do have some place to come back with, thankfully, where I have a roof over my head.
Yes, that's always good. So, your latest EP, The Movies Without You,
mm-hmm.
is all about the movies. So will you tell me a little bit about that, and then tell me also what are some of your favorite movies?
I definitely write in a very storyteller, kind of classic style, and, it's very cinematic. Like, I definitely, the songs that I write are very meaty, very, like, there's a couple ditties in there, but it's there's a lot of subtext and stuff going on, and I'm just, I'm basically a massive movie geek. I used to work in the video store when I was a kid, and I've seen probably more movies than most people that you know. And that's not really something I'm proud of. It just means that I really have nothing better to do with my time. I just watched. I've watched a lot of movies. A big thing that I like to do is go to a movie by myself, which some people think is really weird.
No,
because I usually find that I can enjoy. I can get into really strange movies by myself. I went to see Hannibal Rising because no one would want to go see Hannibal Rising. To be honest, I don't really blame them. But I actually really had a very deep spiritual experience in Hannibal Rising. because it's about a man who chooses his art, you know, his art being cannibalism and, mm-hmm. and eating people, over, you know, the love of a beautiful woman. And I can identify with that.
Wow. Except you're not a cannibal.
I'm not a cannibal, no. No, okay. It was a pretty awful movie, but I definitely enjoy it. If I had gone to a movie with somebody else and seen that movie with somebody else, I probably wouldn't have went and liked it as much.
Interesting. So what movie have you seen more times than any other movie?
Well, I definitely I've clocked into certain movies I've seen a massive amount of time, like Doctor Strange Love or How I Stopped Worrying and Learned to Love the Bomb. I've probably seen that movie like a lot. I haven't seen it in a long time, but when I was in high school, I kind of just watched that movie endlessly. Mm-hmm. I've seen Pulp Fiction a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that movie, 'cause it's great. I've seen I'm thinking of more recent movies. I'm kind of obsessed with 40-Year-Old Virgin, which might be a little too. And I'm obsessed with Ali G and Sacha Baron Cohen. So mm-hmm. I watch those a lot. And pretty much every Steve McQueen movie I've seen a solid 5 or 6 times.
Great. I have curly hair, and I have this theory on brainwaves and curls. I think that the creative brainwaves in people's heads cause them to have curly hair. But do you think that curly-haired people have creative advantages over non-curly-haired people?
I do think what we sacrifice in terms of, being susceptible to humidity changes and the barometer, we do gain in sort of a natural recklessness and abandon. You know, it's almost socially having curly hair gives you an advantage over people who are straight hair, because, you know, it's they're caught looking at your hair, and you've got them in a little bit of a daze, and then you can kind of put some moves on them, you know.
Yeah, and you kind of have an excuse for having a bad hair day. Well, look, it's really damp outside today. There's nothing I can do.
Yeah, I mean, one of the interesting things for me on tour is how different my hair is in every city.
Uh-huh.
Because this tour, we went through various climate changes. We were up in Toronto and down the south, and it also gives you, as a curly-haired person, you can only live in certain places in the world. Because
that's right.
We're talking about massive amounts of money being spent on product, you know, like
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't, there's some cities where you may only need just a little bit of a leave-in conditioner, but then there are other cities where you have to rock pomade.
That's right.
And that's the good stuff is not cheap.
It's not cheap, no. It's a real burden.
Not at all.
So how do you deal with your bad hair days?
I sort of have the kind of hair that it's always a bad hair day. So that kind of, you know what I mean? I work on a much more philosophical level. It's my hair is always bad, so it's always good. You know,
uh-huh.
I exist kind of infinite circle of just, you know, of bad hair days, which translated into good hair days. It's kind of definitely like a Willy Wonka up is down, left is right kind of vibe going on with my hair.
No, I get it. I totally get it. So if you could leave a time capsule the size of a microwave oven to be found centuries from now, what would you put inside it?
Does this have to be media, or is this
can be any
sort of object?
Any sort of object.
You know, I'd probably leave one Marlon Brando movie in there, one Steve McQueen movie in there. One James Dean movie in there, and probably an Elvis record.
Mm-hmm.
That was, and then pretty much any sort of ridiculous paraphernalia involved with the Beatles. You know, maybe instead of putting a record in there, if I just, you know, if it was like, you know, John, Paul, Ringo, and George coasters or something.
The bobbleheads.
Into this. Yeah, I bobbleheads exactly. I don't know. You know, definitely music, some movies, maybe a couple books. Trying to see what books would I put Catcher in the Rye in there, right? You got to put that in there. But pretty much anything else is like technology. I mean, video games don't need to be in there. Cell phones don't need to be in there. You know, you can't really fit a work of art into a microwave. You probably mess it up. I mean, maybe like that whole thing, you know, the guy who paints like the Van Goghs on the size of pinheads. Of pinheads. If you could get a whole, like, if you just get all the major works of art transferred onto pinheads,
or in grains of rice,
a box, you could stick it into the microwave and it would fit.
All right. If you were asked what to put in a new breakfast cereal box as a gimmick, what would you pick?
I don't know. That's tough. I mean, I was always a fan.
What did you want?
Well, you know, I loved when you had, like, for example, back when I was a kid, there was a time when Captain Crunch went missing.
Uh-huh.
And you had to find Captain Crunch and they gave you this whole decoder kit. It would definitely be in the realm of a decoder kit or invisible ink. I mean, if we're talking about pioneering what can be put in breakfast cereal boxes, uh-huh. then, you know, the sky is certainly the limit. I mean, you could put a Glockenspiel in a breakfast cereal box, like a mini Glockenspiel.
Uh-huh.
I think you could put a mousetrap in there, but that would be kind of cruel. But it would be pretty sensational.
It would be.
You get a big stir out of that. We're an animal. What about a live animal, like a gerbil?
You could totally put a gerbil in a cereal box.
Yeah, that's the whole, you know, it's like he could sustain himself, so therefore you could leave it on the shelf for months at a time. You know, you could, the expiration date, you know, eventually, you know, hopefully the gerbil might eat its way out of the box, but.
All right, so if you could arrange a jam session with any three musicians in history, so dead or alive, who would you include?
Huh. I'd pick Thelonious Monk. I'd pick Tony Williams. And, I think I might have McCartney in there. We could throw McCartney in there. Or maybe like Lemmy from Motorhead.
That would be cool.
He would even it out, you know what I mean?
Well, if you could have one supernatural ability, what would it be?
Whew. How about, like, the ability just to not sleep?
Don't you like sleeping, though?
I do, but it would be kind of cool just not to sleep. I mean, something so subtle like that, you could get so much shit done. Like, if you never needed to sleep, like, your body just charged itself, you know what I mean? Just keep going with everything. Like, you were onto something and just... I mean, if it's, then I guess the other one would be super speed.
Uh-huh.
You know, if I couldn't have that.
Will you please give me your best impression of a pirate?
Arr! That's about it.
That was great. That was fine. You're a fine pirate. You've joined the ranks now of all the people who have given pirate impressions.
That's great.